Tonight, could I thank Rebecca for journeying to Portadown and for ministering in song those beautiful pieces for us this evening. Would you turn, please, in God, chapter 15, and when you find the place, and just very briefly ask the Lord to bless the ministry of His Word to our hearts. Again tonight, solemn subject at hand. May the Lord settle us all down in His house to hear the word of the Lord and to accept it in our hearts and to live our lives in view of the fact that God's word and what we're about to say tonight is very, very true. So let's unite our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you for the service thus far, the hymns of victory, the rejoicing in salvation, for the beautiful hymns that have been sung by Rebecca. We ask, Lord, in the closing moments of this gospel meeting, when we come to the most important time in our gathering for worship, the preaching of the Word of God, we ask that as Rebecca sang that first piece, that we would hear those ancient words. We pray that Thou will give men and women tonight an ear to hear what God the Lord will say through the Holy Scriptures. May the entrance of Thy Word give light, give life. To that end, fill me with the Holy Ghost to preach the Word of God. Lord, I am not sufficient for these things or this task of myself. And Lord, left to my own devices, I will utterly fail. But we pray that Thou will take me up as that sharp threshing instrument in Thy hand, and that the Word will have an effect in every heart. And should there be any here tonight in an unsaved state and condition, Lord, bring them to the birth. Bring them to the place where they'll be born again. Hear and answer prayer. Defeat the plans and schemes of the wicked one. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday night, I spoke to you on the subject going to hell with your eyes open. And I based our thoughts and our message on a man called Balaam. We noted how that at least four times in the book of Numbers, we were told that Balaam had his eyes open to spiritual and gospel truth. His understanding was open to the truth about Christ. His eyes were open to the reality of death and the victory of the believer in death. His eyes were open concerning the truth of eternity. While he didn't deny the truth, he accepted it, he disregarded it, he disobeyed it, he did not act upon it. And when he died in his sins and he went to hell. The Bible is very clear about that. Balaam's soul was lost. And so he went to hell with his eyes open, knowing the truth of the gospel, knowing that if he died in his sins, he would perish, and he went to hell in that condition. The Bible speaks of another sort of person who sadly also spends eternity in hell. I believe they were spoken of in my text for this evening. I want to highlight and take as my text tonight the words of verse 14 of Matthew chapter 15. They are the words of the Lord Jesus spoken to his disciples concerning the Pharisees. He says, "Let them alone. They be blind. They're in darkness. Their eyes are closed. They're not open to these truths. Let them alone. They be blind. Leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." The Lord Jesus, as I have said, spoke these words about the Pharisees. They had been offended by the Lord. You'll see that in verse 12. "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" As the Lord Jesus was preaching, and as he answered the Pharisees, They had come to criticize. They made allegations against the disciples. They stated that the disciples sinned because they did not observe the tradition of the elders. But the Lord stated that they sinned because they had made void the law of God, and they placed the tradition of man above the law of God. And they did not observe or obey the law of God. And these men were offended at the Lord's preaching and his sayings. Can I just pause there and remind the church and God's people, you cannot have a faithful ministry without giving offense to some. Paul spoke about the offense of the cross when Jesus was faithful to the souls of the Pharisees, and he showed them that they were sinners and that they denied and they sinned in a particular way by desecrating the law of God and placing their traditions as more important than the law of God. They were offended. You see, there's a thought today that you can be faithful to God and not give offense. My friend, I want to tell you, we don't go out of our way to offend people. We want to preach the gospel in love and with compassion. But I'm saying to you that as the Pharisees were offended at Christ, if they took offense at the preaching of Jesus, then when we are faithful to God's word, men will take offense at the truth of God's word when we preach it. That is an undeniable and inescapable reality. Men will be offended when the truth of God's word is preached because of their sinful pride, rebellious and wicked hearts. So they had taken offense at Christ's preaching. But the Savior, in verse 14, he told his disciples to ignore them. Let them alone. They be blind. Leaders of the blind. He tells them that they were in spiritual darkness. And as a result, they and those that followed would fall into the ditch. And he gives a little illustration. If one blind man leads another, inevitably, they'll stumble and fall in the ditch. You can picture it in your mind. When I ministered in Scotland, there was a blind man in the congregation. He hadn't been born blind, but was involved in an incident that became blind in his adult life. And one day, he decided, he got fed up sitting about, and he decided that he would walk from Stranraer to Portpatrick. It's about 6 miles. And he knew that if he went out of his house and he turned left and he camped to the left until he came to the next junction and then turned right, that road would take him all the way to Portpatrick. And his wife came home and he was missing, and she didn't know where he was and was greatly troubled about him. And eventually they found him and made his way home. And I asked him, I said, how on earth did you manage to walk all those miles without stumbling and falling or going astray? He said, well, I took the stick with me. And he said, you tap the stick, one for the road and one for the ditch, one for the road and one for the ditch. And he says, you just stay on the side of the road. And I knew if I turned left, stayed on that road, I came to the junction, turned right onto the next road, would take me all the way to Portpatrick. And he got there. He called a taxi and took him home. But you picture it in your mind. The blind leading the blind. And he might even have the stick in his hand. And he might be tapping it, one for the road and one for the ditch. But oh, there's a ditch up ahead that he knows nothing about. There's a hole, a sinkhole in the road that he knows nothing about. And it's inevitable that he fall into it. He can't see where he's going. And the blind lead the blind, they fall into the ditch. It is no coincidence that in the Word of God, hell is described as a pit In Revelation chapter 20, verse 3, hell is described as a bottomless pit. In Numbers 16 and 33, we read of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and they and their houses went down alive into the pit for their rebellion and their sin against God. And the Lord Jesus is making it very, very clear that these men, they are not only in darkness and in the human sense, as a blind man would fall into the ditch, so men that are spiritually blind, their eyes are closed to spiritual and eternal truth, they will inevitably fall into the pit that is hell. We could say they are going to hell with their eyes closed. No, they're not like Balaam. Balaam knew the truth of God. Balaam wouldn't argue with it. Balaam knew that if he died in his sin, he would be lost, and he knew what he had to do to be saved. But these men, the Lord is saying, they're blind. And they think they're walking in the right road, in the right way, but inevitably they'll fall into hell. They're going to hell with their eyes closed. I wonder how many are like them. I want us just this evening at the close of this gospel service to examine this little text. And I want to set before you three things that are suggested from it. I want you firstly to notice a declaration. It's the declaration of the Savior. And I'm picking out a little bit now. And I'm just picking out that little phrase, "they be blind." Who was he speaking about? Well, verse 12 gives you the answer. The disciples came and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended?" The Lord's conclusion was that the Pharisees were spiritually blind. They were darkened. The Pharisees were, of course, the leaders, the public representatives of Judaism. They were the religious leaders of Judaism in their day. But Judaism and Phariseeism had departed, had apostatized from the truth of the gospel. So much so that we might say of Phariseeism in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, it could rightly be described as false religion. It presented a false message. It proclaimed false doctrine. And by that apostate system of belief that the Pharisees had embraced, they were blinded and darkened and on the road to hell. The Apostle Paul, before he was converted on the Damascus Road, he was a Pharisee, and he gives us a little insight into the teaching of the Pharisees in Philippians chapter 3. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3 in the Word of God, and it's verses 4 to 6. He's describing what he was before he became a Christian, what he was before he got right with God, before his sins were forgiven and he was saved. And in Philippians 3, verses 4 to 6, let's look at these verses for a moment or two. He says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." Paul is addressing those who trust in the outward works of the flesh to gain them acceptance with God, forgiveness of sin, and salvation for eternity. And he declares that if any man could boast in the flesh for salvation, it was him. And then he describes what he was before he was saved. And do you see the end of verse 5? He says, a Pharisee. Paul was a Pharisee. And you'll notice in verse 4, if we take that little phrase, trust in the flesh, a Pharisee, that's what the Pharisees did. They were trusting, they were relying
on outward religious works that they could do and be involved in to gain them acceptance and favor and salvation before the Lord. And he describes them. Look at verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day. That's religious rites, religious sacraments. Circumcision was the Old Testament sacrament. And every male child was circumcised on the eighth day. And to be part of the nation of Israel and to be part of the religious life of the Jewish nation and to be accepted within the temple and the tabernacle, the male child had to be circumcised. It was a religious sacrament. They trusted in the sacraments. They trusted in their pedigree. I was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. He traces his pedigree right back to the tribe of Benjamin, then to Jacob, then to Abraham. And he's declaring, oh, the one whom the promise was given to, the one who was right with God, and God said he would make a great nation, and the Messiah would come from his line. I'm one of that stock. He trusted in his earthly relations. They trusted in the sacraments of the Old Testament system and church. Trusted in their knowledge of the law. Look at verse 5. As touching the law, a Pharisee. He studied the Old Testament, the law, at the feet of Gamaliel. He could quote the Old Testament. He knew it. He learned it. He trusted too their morality as touching the law. A Pharisee. Look at verse 6. As touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What he's saying, the rules and the regulations of the Pharisees, I adhered to them. I lived by an outward moral code. And no one could point a finger and say, I'm guilty of that sin, or I'm guilty of breaking that law or rule of the Pharisees or Judaism. He lived outwardly, blamelessly, by a moral code. He trusted in his zeal. He was enthusiastic about his religion. And yet Paul concludes in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Those things didn't save him. They were what the Pharisees trusted in. And can I say to you tonight that false religion, salvation by works, and that's the definition, that's what defines the difference between true biblical religion and false religion. The Bible teaches us we're saved by faith alone in Christ alone. Every other false religion says you can gain merit and favor with God by religious works that you can do. Observe the sacraments of the church. Live by a moral code, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. False religion declares, depending on your pedigree or your nation or the family line you were born into, be zealous and enthusiastic about religion. Live by a moral standard. Do the best you can and you will have favor with God. But the Bible teaches salvation is by faith in Christ alone. And what the Lord is saying is that false religion blinds men. Blinds men to the truth and reality of the gospel. Paul says, what things I counted gain. I thought my circumcision gave me the favor of God. I thought my pedigree gained me the favor of God. I counted that my zeal and my upright life gained me favor with God. My friends, it's false religion. J.C. Ryle stated, and I believe he was true in his day. He said, if sin damns thousands, false religion damns tens of thousands. Men think they are going to heaven by the code they live by, the church they attend, the rules they keep, and yet all the time they are on the road to hell because they have been blinded by false religion. I've mentioned Paul. I've mentioned what he was before the Damascus Road. But I tell you, when he traveled to Damascus, something happened. And in Acts 9 and verse 18, we're told what happened. We're told the scales fell off his eyes. He acknowledges that in his past life as a Pharisee, he was blinded to the truth of Jesus Christ and the gospel of redeeming grace. And on the road to Damascus in Acts 9 and 18, we're told that it was as if the scales fell from off his eyes. He saw the Lord. Jesus spoke to him. He asked the question, who art thou? I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And at that time, Paul surrendered his life to Christ. He bowed the knee. He called upon the Lord to save him. He submitted to the Savior. And he counted for loss all those things that once he counted gain. The things he trusted in. The Phariseeism, the zeal, the sacraments, the morality, the law. He counted them all but loss that he might be found in Christ. There he realized that Phariseeism was a false religious system that had been leading him to hell, and that Jesus Christ could open his eyes and take him to heaven. And my friend, for every individual blinded by false religion, they need the experience. And let me say, if you're not saved, whether you're blinded by false religion or some other thing, you need the experience of Paul in the Damascus Road. You need the Lord to take the scales from off your eyes, to take away the devil's blindfold, and to see that Jesus Christ is the only one who can make you right with God and ready for eternity. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14, there is a declaration, they be blind, false religion blinds men. Whether it is apostate Protestantism, Judaism, Roman Catholicism, Islam, I tell you, false religion blinds men so that they're going down that road that leads to hell, blinded in their state. I want you to notice a second thing tonight from Matthew 15, verse 14. I want you to see not only a declaration, they be blind, false religion had blinded those Pharisees, but I want you to see a danger. Look at what the Lord says, let them alone, they be blind, leaders of the blind. The representatives of that apostate religious system were not just going to hell alone. They were influencing others to go there with them. That's the sense of the word and the idea of leading. It's like they've taken them by the hand and they're marching them down that same road with them. It's like the false shepherd leading the sheep and he's leading them down the wrong path. The representatives of false religion were leading others down the same road as they were going, right down to that ditch, down to hell. How solemn and serious it is. There is a general principle within that thought that I want to emphasize tonight, and it is this, it is the danger of influence. Oh, the Pharisees were masters at it. You read in John's Gospel of the blind man. My, they were ready to throw him out of the synagogue. They were or out of the temple. They were going to excommunicate him if he associated with Christ. And oh, there were threats made. They influenced by their false teaching. They taught a system that was erroneous, as if it was orthodoxy.
and they influenced men to walk the same road as they walked. And in doing so, I want to emphasize this, in doing so, they shut men out of heaven and they took men to hell with them. How do I know that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ himself said it with his own lips. Turn over to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. This is a sermon that I, and a passage I would love the liberals to read and to study and to preach upon. And they have this idea that the Lord never rebuked sin, never stood against false religion or false religious teachers. They would tell us, you can't speak out against others who preach something different. They've never read Matthew chapter 23. This is the Savior's temple sermon. Some of the greatest sermons in the Bible were given in the temple by the prophets, by the Lord himself. Jeremiah preached a scathing sermon in the temple in his day. And the Lord's sermon here is every bit as blistering as Jeremiah's was. He turns the guns, as it were, upon the Pharisees and upon the scribes. And he lets them know exactly what he thinks of them. He tells them it as it is. And he tells them who they are, what they're doing, and where they're going. Look at verse 13. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, the woe. The judgment of God is and was upon them. Why? Why was the judgment and the woe of Christ upon them? Why did he call them hypocrites? For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. There's the Savior's accusation, and it's a true accusation. Ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Oh, what an allegation to have laid against you. And yet it was the exact case of the Pharisees. They neither went in to the kingdom of heaven themselves. They were not saved. They were not relying on the Messiah, on the Lord Jesus, and Him alone for their soul salvation. They were blinded by their own religious system, false as it was, not agreeable to the Scriptures, a perversion of what the Scriptures really taught. And they would not go in themselves. They trusted in their religious acts and deeds. But oh, even worse, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. They closed the doors of heaven to the people of their day when they preached their false doctrine. And they influenced the men of their day. Don't go that way! Men ready to enter the narrow way, and the Pharisees were there to dissuade them and to influence them away from the kingdom of heaven and keep them in their blindness, in their sin, and keep them on the road to hell. Look at verse 15. The same passage to Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. That was the work of the Pharisees. They'd have traveled land and sea to make a man a Pharisee. But in making him a Pharisee, they made him a child of hell, twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. They were only making converts for hell. You notice what the Lord said about the Pharisees in verse 14? Let me just read the last little bit. Ye shall receive the greater damnation. Men who influence others to hell will be judged greater and receive a greater damnation in hell than the creatures that follow them. What a solemn thought. And I want to just, and I know time is almost gone, but I just, in application, I want to broaden this thought out a wee bit. You see, it's not only false religion that blinds men. That's only one of the tools of the devil. Satan blinds men. Paul spoke about Satan having blinded the minds of them that believe not.
Sin has blinded hearts that are darkened.
I want to say it's not only false religion that influences men to hell. There are others, atheism, secularism, those that follow materialism and hedonism. Why, they are influencing men and women to live a secular, worldly, ungodly life. Just live for the here and now. Eat, drink, and be merry, for today you live, tomorrow you die. And all the time, they are influencing men and women to hell. Men and women to reject the truth of the gospel, keeping their eyes closed to the truth, and leading them down that road that ends in destruction. Maybe there's an individual, and oh, you wouldn't describe them as a religious leader. You wouldn't really describe them as a leader of anything, but they're keeping you off the narrow way. You couldn't become a Christian. What would your friends think of you? How could you live the Christian life? You just remain with your friends in your state of sin. They're influencing you. They're keeping you on that broad road. I want to tell you, my friend, you can be influenced in blindness to a lost eternity. And I entreat you and implore you in Christ's name, don't be influenced by others, whether it's a false system of doctrine, false religion, or it's some other influence. Don't let others influence you to lose your soul and end up in that pit and in that ditch called hell. That's the danger. Men are susceptible in their sin to being influenced to a lost eternity and going there with their eyes closed. There's one final thought I want to put to you, and I just have time to mention it tonight, but from our text we see not only a declaration, they be blind, false religion blinded the Pharisees. There was a danger. They were leaders of the blind. They were influencing others away from God and the gospel and closing them out of the kingdom of heaven, making them children of hell. And finally, tonight, there is a duty. And it's a duty for the disciples of Christ. That's who the Lord's speaking these words to. It's a duty for the true believer. It's a duty for the true church. And it's summed up in those three words at the start of verse 14. Let them alone. When the Lord spoke those words to his disciples, he meant that they were to have absolutely nothing to do with them. A complete separation and abandonment from them. The Lord used a similar phrase in Hosea 4 and 17. I'll not take time to turn it up. But he was speaking about the sinner. Speaking about Ephraim, one of the tribes of Israel. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let them alone. And he was speaking about that time when he would abandon them and let them go in their sin, and they would have no hope of being saved, and they would perish. It was a complete abandonment. A complete separation to have no more dealings with. And what the Lord was telling his disciples was this: have a complete separation from the Pharisees. You're not to join up with them. You're not to have any part with them. In fact, you're to work against them. How are you to work against them? You're to preach the gospel. The Lord sent his disciples out two by two, and they were to preach the gospel in every town and village throughout Israel. Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God teaches us as true believers, we are to be completely separate
from those who teach a false gospel, who teach false doctrine, who preach another way of salvation other and apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to separate from them. We are to proclaim the truth, and we are to reprove them. We are to reprove the works of evil, the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship with them, Paul said, but rather reprove them. Tonight I close saying we will continue to remain outside the camp of ecumenical compromise and stand apart from every false religion. We want to live as good neighbors with everybody, but we can have no spiritual fellowship with those who peddle a false way and false doctrine. And we will continue to preach the truth of God, the gospel of Christ, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's the only way to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we will pray in faith that as that message is preached, that the scales of men's eyes will fall from them, and their darkness, their blindness will be taken over by the light of the gospel, and they'll get off that broad road that leads to hell and under the narrow way that leads to heaven. May you not go to hell with your eyes open like Balaam. May you not go to hell with your eyes blind and closed. But may the scales fall off your eyes, and may you behold the glory of the gospel. And like the Apostle Paul, surrender your life, your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer.